getting Caleb ready for school, Caleb and Satota. The way it kind of works, I typically through the week I'll drive them, because I come to the office here, I'll come in at 9, I'll drop them off at school, and they like the extra time. On Monday, the bus comes, so they got to leave. It's about 25 minutes earlier. So when Monday comes, it's a little different for them. We've got to speed things up. Anyways, this particular Monday, Caleb informed me as we're getting him ready that his class election is today and he has to do a speech. And it was like, Caleb, like he mentioned something about a week ago, he's going to have to do a speech sometime. But anyways, and then he just mentioned Monday morning, I'm giving a speech in front of the class today I'm running for president. Well, that's great, but you want to be prepared now. Anyway, so it's like, in frustration, I'll give you some more minutes because I'll drive you to school and give you a few more minutes. So Satota and Caleb, they got a few more minutes. So Caleb had his plan. He knew what he was going to do. He's going to go on the internet. And Robert, you'll be getting a little older later. And Nate and Javon, you'd use this maybe if you're going to run for class president. But what he did, he went and looked for something inspirational. So he had this in mind. This is what he's going to do. And it was very ironic what he chose, because I never let him in this. But I thought it was kind of ironic, because Monday morning, mentions he's got a speech, so he's preparing for the speech in order to give the speech, and he's looking for something inspirational. And this is what he found. This is what he wrote down. And he wasn't meaning to be ironic, but anyways, he said, this is what he wrote. The best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today. And with sincerity, he went in front of his class and used this speech. The best preparation for tomorrow is to do your best today. And I wrote this speech about 20 minutes ago, so it's fresh in my mind, and you'll not forget it. But he did write this, and I thought it was kind of witty. He said, a wise man, in his speech, I read the first bit, but he said, a wise man once told me, and then he said this, the best preparation for tomorrow is to do your best today. And then he said, this wise man's name was Google. That's pretty good.
And he is present.
And he is present. Caleb is president is a choice. Yes, he's. And even Eden Boudreaux. So between Caleb and Eden, the school is in good shape. So, anyways. But the thing with inspirational sayings is that's what they are. They're inspirational. But the problem is, if all they do is inspire you and don't cause you to do something about it, if it just stops there, then they fall short. And what we're doing this morning, we're in the book of James. We're working through the book of James, and we entitled it "It's Time to Get Real," and it's about just living out your faith, the real deal, and. And what we're going to read, it could be seen as being inspirational. That can be very inspiring. But here's the deal with the Bible, with the book of James, with this call to believers. It's not about being inspired. It's about actually living out what is written, what is said. It's not just knowing and thinking, well, that's wonderful, but actually doing it. That's the real deal. It's actually doing what you're called to do. And with what we're going to address this morning, I don't know where you're at and how you're getting along in this area, but I do know something. I know you can change just where you're at, and you can change what happens in the future. Tricia shared with me actually this week something that she heard by C.S. Lewis, and she shared this with me. C.S. Lewis, he wrote the Narnia series, and anyways, but I thought this was really good. He said, you cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. And isn't that good? You can't go back and change the beginning. You can't do anything about what's already happened. You can't go back and change last week or last month or last year. That's done. You can't do anything with that. But you can change the ending. You can start today, make changes, and that changes how things are going in the future. That's our faith. Wherever you're at in different areas, and we're all struggling along, and there's different ways we mess up, and nobody here, I know certainly not included myself, has reached perfection. And in this life, you will not. But I do know there's changes that we're to make. As we're going along and we mess up, or now we're supposed to be, just redirect and change how things go in the future. You don't stay where you're at. You change things how the future goes. So we're going to read James chapter 1. 19 to 20. And before we read it, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go from there. Heavenly Father God, we come before you in recognition of the fact that we are needy people. God, we do not have it all together by any means. God, you know that perfectly well. But God, you also desire for us to seek your strength. You desire for us to bring about change. And God, you've given us your word, which is there, which your Holy Spirit uses to redirect, to change the way that things are going, God. And I pray this morning, as we read what's before us, may it redirect, may it bring about changes the way the future unfolds in my life and the life of each individual who's here this morning, who hears this word. So God, I bring these things before you, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. And it says this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger is more of a term that we're used to today, but that's what's being addressed here. Quick to hear. It has to do with being a good listener. And I just, a question you could ask yourself, you know, are you a good listener? And probably a better way to kind of think that through, if you were to ask your spouse or your parents or your children or your friend, am I a good listener? If you were to ask that, would that almost be something that would be comical? Because no, you're not a good listener. You don't listen. You talk, but you don't listen. So that's a good thing to assess. Like, where are you at? Like, you know, gauging yourself. I'm doing pretty good, or I'm not doing so great. I bet people, and I've had conversations with people, and I know as I'm talking to them, they're not listening to anything I'm saying. Like, we're talking, and they're not listening. I know, I can see in their mind that the wheels are turning, and the wheels are turning because all the time I'm talking to them, they're thinking about what they're going to say. And they're just waiting for me to stop talking because they're just going to say it. Never heard a word. And I got to say, too, I've been guilty of that, too. I fall into that. Somebody's talking. It's like, okay, well, I got something. This is really good. Just stop. Just wait. Okay, boom, and I can talk. Never heard a word they said. I want to talk. But we got to be careful because that's not quick to hear. That's not quick to hear. Poor communication now. It's one of the biggest contributors to an unhappy marriage. It's one of the main areas that causes struggles in marriages is being poor to listen. Communication just doesn't happen. You got to guard that. You got to be on top of that. And unfortunately for you know, men, and I fall into this category, tend to be statistically worse listeners than women. That's just kind of the way it goes. And it's kind of good though to have that heads up and be aware of that, because here's what happens with Tricia. When we're having a conversation and she's talking to me with struggles she's having, problems she's having, as she's talking, what I'm doing, I'm figuring out the problems. In my mind, I'm thinking, well, if you do this and this and this, this should all work. That's how it goes. And here's the deal, and she's told me this before, because she'll stop talking and I'll say, well, you should do this and try this and this. And it's like she said to me, Gary, I don't want you to try and solve the problem. I just want you to listen. That's all I want. I want you to just let me talk and just take it in and just listen. And it's what's sometimes it's hard to do, but that's why we haven't perfected it yet. But it's something that we're to work on. So as guys, keep that in mind. But when we do premarital counseling, when we do it, we do as a couple, and when we enjoy doing it as a couple, and something we will address with those who are doing premarital counseling with is active listening. Like if someone's talking, it's a really good idea to ask them, like, when you say that, this is what I hear, or you know, what did you mean by that? Because here's what people do, here's what you do, here's what I do. We jump to conclusions. We make assumptions as people are talking. We fill in the blanks, and sometimes we fill them in improperly. And it's really good if you're listening. Like, to be a good listener, the act of listening is like, okay, just this is. I kind of understand you're saying it like this, but I'm not sure if that's correct. What do you mean by what you're saying? Let's really slow that down. And that's something that we should strive to do. And one thing, active listening, like when you're talking with someone, you can see their body language. You can hear the tones in their voice. There's communication that happens, and it's the best way to go. Another way with communication, I'll just put this out there. One way of communication that I've fallen into before, and when you're dealing with something sensitive, I just share this with you because I've seen it go bad different times. If you got to communicate with somebody, it's usually not a good idea to write what you're communicating. Like if you're upset about something, it's usually not a good idea to write it down and then send it off through a text message, which is really short, and you're really going to limit what you can say, or a Facebook Messenger, or an email. And I say that because here's what happens. When someone receives that, when I've received that, because when you deal with people, there's going to be sometimes you offend people. Somebody, there's something sensitive that happens. When that happens and you read that, you can read things into it that weren't even meant to be there. And I've experiences where I've read something and I think it's one way, and then I end up talking to the person. No, that's not actually what it was. And there's been times too, I've gotten something, and then I'm writing back a response. And thankfully, before I'll send back the response, I'll erase it. And what I'll do is I'll call the person and ask them, like, can we get together? Because what I've found too, because I've seen this happen in situations where it grows and it goes bad, somebody responds. So somebody writes something and the person takes it the wrong way. And then they write something back and the other person takes it the wrong way. And it builds and it builds and builds. All that to say, the best way to listen, the best way to understand what's happening, talk. Perceive how the person, the response, what are you saying? Because it's very helpful. That's quick to listen. Because when we write something, it can be perceived the wrong way. And things in relationships are valuable. You don't want things to go the wrong way. So you do all you can to just keep things good. So it's good to just meet and to talk. And just dealing with so many people, I've seen relationships where it's gone bad because things are written and somebody takes the wrong way and it just builds, and just seek to eliminate that. And being quick to listen. The media context here is James is writing. He's talking primarily in relation to the Word of God. When God's Word is being shared, and in James' day, primarily the way you received the Word of God was through verbally. People would speak and they would share and read because nowadays it's like you have so many Bibles in your house and I have so many in mine, and that was not the way it was in James' day. There was certain books in the New Testament that weren't even written yet. And what was written, there wasn't all these exuberant amount of copies. There wasn't even a printing press or anything. Just everything was very diligently handwritten because everything had to be perfect. So there just wasn't that much available as far as things you could read. And what he's saying, quick to listen, like don't just jump in and not prepare yourself for what's going to be said. Prepare your mind for what's going to be said. Be in a position where you take in what's going to be said, what's going to be read. And the same thing goes for God's Word. Now, as we have it before us, we can read it. Prepare your mind for what's going to be said. Prepare your mind for what's going to be shared. And as I share with you from God's Word, I encourage you just prepare your mind, because here's what can happen. Sometimes I can see in your eyes, but your mind, it goes maybe to the movie you watched last night. Or maybe it goes to, I got to get this thing done today, and you're looking at me, and I think, it's getting through, and as I'm looking, you're thinking about, some painting or something you have to do. I just want to encourage you, rebuke that, because it happens. None of us have it perfected. When your mind starts going off and you're hearing from God's Word, just kind of rebuke that and say, okay, listen, I got to get focused. I got to take this in. And I have some limitations where I can tell people. But here's something I know. Sometimes I've talked to people before, I don't think they're listening. Man, they can basically verbatim speak back what I say. That's just. And then other people, you might think they're listening. They might have an idea what you're talking about. They look like they were. So anyways, but that's individually. You got to figure that. But I just encourage you, rebuke it. Be quick to listen. Take in what's being shared. And we're all called to be quick to hear, be good listeners. And we're called to be slow to speak. Here's the thing. Don't be eager to just spew your thoughts. Don't always be so eager to just say what's on your mind and just kind of let it out. I mean, don't be someone when the conversation happens, you always have to be talking. You always have to be the one saying something. You always have to give your opinion. There's a lot said in Scripture about that. Be slow to speak. I want to share some verses with you. And these are just so ridiculously practical. Proverbs 17:28. It says this. Now listen. Even a fool, and to keep this in mind, because you can look pretty intelligent if you follow this, okay? But even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. I've lived that. I've been in situations where I've opened my mouth, and after I've said it, that was stupid. It's like, if I wouldn't have said anything, I would have probably been perceived like I probably knew what was going on. But that's the thing. You get talking enough, eventually, it's just going to reveal you don't really know what's going on. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Sometimes we really don't know what we're talking about. It's not a good idea to really say much. Here's another one. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him. Like it's being said, you don't even hear what's being said, but yet you're going to answer. Or somebody's speaking and you shut your mind off and you're just ready to just blurt it out. It's not helpful. That's not being quick to hear. Slow to speak. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? And I've been hasty many times. There is more hope for a fool than for him. You just got to speak. You got to get it, but just slow it down. Slow to speak. Consider what you're going to say. I mean, just don't blurt things out. Think about it. This past Monday, we did the Democratic right thing, and we voted in Cardigan and for councillor and mayor, and we went in, and as we were leaving, there was a door there at the window, and there's somebody on the other side, and Trisha was ahead of me, and I said, just watch out for the door. And I forget how it all unfolded, but somebody's on the other side. And Trisha made the comment back. She said, well, I'm not an idiot. Just kind of lightly. And then I thought, pretty witty. I responded then, well, then don't act like one. And then it's like as soon as those things came out, it's like she's not going to find that funny. Like that was stupid, Gary. But this is all after. Like at that point, it's already out there. So now I got to apologize. Listen, and it's like I could have just avoided all that, But I didn't. I just wasn't slow to speak. Just boom. Just in my mind, just let it go, and I didn't kind of consider what I was going to say. Yes, it was trouble. But here's something too. We've all been around people, and there's certain people they're kind of quieter. But when they speak, and you respect this person, when they speak, everybody kind of turns and listens. Because they don't really say, a lot, but when they speak, they've considered, they've thought about it, they have something to really add to the conversation. When they speak, you just kind of turn. Everybody turns, and they listen. And I just say that because that's a good model for us. Sometimes I think we all, I know myself, speak too quick. And just kind of be that something. If you have something really to contribute, you've thought about it, you consider it, then speak. And I just say that's a good person to model. And again, kind of just breaking it down to directly what is James saying in the immediate context. He's speaking to being slow to speak. It has to do with what you say about God, what you have to do, say about your faith, what you say about God's word. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says this regarding your faith. It says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. with meekness and in fear. This speaks of considering, preparing, being ready to just kind of to say what's there that you feel needs to be shared. But there's accountability here in the sense that you got to be careful because you don't want to say something that misrepresents God. And that doesn't, and I say that because you want to speak about the things of God, but you want to just, you know, look into it and just don't say something unless you know it's correct or about your faith or you just, so while we're to say it, just don't say it flippantly. You know, if you're going to represent God, know what you're saying about God. You're going to talk about your faith, seek to know what you're going to say about your faith. And that's for every one of us. And for myself as your pastor, there's even more weight that comes on me. Because every week you guys show up. And every week I prepare something to share with you. And when I prepare something, I'll put it down. And what I do, I critique. I'm my biggest critic. And I'll look over it. And I'll think, well, is this bang on? Like, is this right in line, or could this be perceived as the wrong way? And sometimes I'll say, well, other Bible teachers take it this way, just to kind of give you a broader example. But there's a lot of accountability that's there. Like, I have to be slow to speak. I can't just throw whatever together and come here. Like, I gotta get this as correct as I can. And I'm not perfect or incapable of making mistakes, but it's not this quick process as far as putting things together. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. What that means is there's just more accountability. And there should be. If I'm going to be your pastor and I'm going to teach you, there needs to be more accountability that's put on me as far as the things that I say. Because what I share, the idea is you take it with you and you live that out. And that comes back on me. We're to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And again, going into the media context, speaks of God's word. Here's the deal with this book. There's a lot in it. And here's something else. It's not that I love God's word, but it's not that I like everything that's in it. It's not that I like everything that's in it. And here's something else. I would be really concerned about my faith if I had a faith that agreed with everything that I liked. Because if I had a faith that agreed that with everything that I liked, I would not trust that teaching. Because what it is, it's what I want it to be. And everything, if it's just what I want it to be, I don't trust that. And I don't trust the Bible. I'm not a Christian because I like everything that the Bible teaches. I'm a Christian because I believe the Bible is true. I'm a Christian because I believe in a resurrected Savior. It's not just the writings of someone who put together a book and made some wise. I'm trusting in a resurrected Savior. And what happens when I come across something that I don't necessarily like? I don't overstep and say, well, I'm not going to agree with that. What I do, it's like, God, I know you're smarter than I am. I know that exceedingly well. And although I don't necessarily like this, I'll submit to that. I'll submit to your word, and I'm just, you are God, I am not. So slow to become angry, because oftentimes, you know, you got to study it. What does that really mean? What is God really saying? And do I fully understand the way it is? And sometimes you can fully grasp it. Other times, I still don't like it, but I submit to it. Be slow to become angry. And in your day-to-day, there's a progression that happens here. Quick to hear. You know, you listen carefully. Slow to speak. You consider what you say, and then slow to become angry. Because here's the reality. If that's a progression that happens, you can often change the whole anger thing. Because you're moving along slowly. You're considering what you're saying. You're considering what you're doing. I'm going to share with you Proverbs 15, verse 1. Because if you are quick to hear and slow to speak, this can possibly happen. Because if you're not, you're just going to blurt out something insulting, you're going to blurt out something harsh, and things are just going to keep accelerating, going the way that they are, and they're not going well. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Like, there are times you can be back and forth with someone. and it's getting heated, and you could feed that. You just basically put some more wood in the fire, and it's just stoke it up, and it just poof. Or there's sometimes things are getting heated, and what you do is you throw in something like an encouragement. You throw in something that's just kind of going, you know, going the right way as opposed to the wrong way. And what you do, you kind of throw some water on that fire. And sometimes just a gentle answer can just turn away wrath, the way things are going. But that's not going to happen if you're not quick to hear and slow to speak. And being angry, being slow to become angry, this doesn't mean, you know, just work at it slowly, you know, and be angry. What it's calling us to is guard against, well, being angry, although anger is an emotion. You can't fully control that. But what you can control is how you react in that anger. And there's different types of anger. There's righteous anger. In the news yesterday, had to do with in Montreal, and there's these individuals who were luring young people, mostly young guys, who were playing Fortnite. Fortnite's a video game, very popular, growing, you know, just in and of itself. But something that happens on Fortnite, there's communication that happens over the mics and stuff. And what they were men, they would present themselves as, you know, young kids, and they were like eventually asking for like sexual pictures, and the kids would send these sexual pictures, and then what was happening, they were basically trying to blackmail the kids, because if you don't send me more, I'm going to share these pictures that you've sent me. I mean, just evil and wicked, and if that doesn't stir up like righteous anger with them, there's something wrong with you, and there's something wrong with you. I mean, that's, you should be angry, you should be upset, you should be mad at stuff like that. But then there's unrighteous anger. We're not as patient as we should be. We just allow things to irritate us where we really shouldn't. A woman, she tried to defend her bad temper. And she was someone who, she'd blow it, you know, and she tried to justify it. And she said this. She said, "I explode and then it's all over with." And then yes, replied a friend. Just like a shotgun. And look at the damage it's left behind. Isn't that interesting? You know, I just blow it, but I feel good. I mean, I lost it. I just, like, boom! And then it's like, oh, got it off. You know, that was good. Well, actually, it's not. Because when you blow, when I blow, it affects other people. People get hurt. And a practical question that we have to ask is, like, how do we seek to avoid falling into this anger? And again, anger is an emotion. And the key here is what you do in your anger. But how do we avoid not acting out in a way that we shouldn't? And if we do, what do we do about it? I mean, there are things you can do, you know. You're getting heated. I mean, it's probably a good idea just kind of step away from the situation sometimes. That's a good thing. Maybe just give it some time. Some, you know, time can be of a help. Or, you know, grab a cold shower or listen to some relaxing music. Just do some practical things. But the thing is, as followers of Christ, we have a resource that's available to us that not everybody has. And then this resource is more valuable than anything else. And I often wonder, just on the side, I wonder, how do people do it? Like, who don't have faith in Christ, who don't know God, who don't have God that they can go to and turn to when things are just kind of messed up and you're troubled. And, like, I don't know. But people do. Not very well, but I'm just so exceedingly thankful that I have God that I can go to when things do get messed up. And your head's like, what in the world's going on? But God's there. God's available. I want to share with you Psalm 37, verses 1 to 8. And it says this. Now listen, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Because we do fret because of evildoers, and we are envious of people who do things that they shouldn't do, but things seem to be going all right for them. You know, like, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall also bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I mean, there's a lot of valuable information there. You go to Romans 12, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And there's sometimes justice has to be done. You need to step forward and do certain things. But it's like oftentimes, you need to realize somebody does something to us or someone we love. And as I said, sometimes there's steps you need to take and justice has to happen. But sometimes that's not an option that's there. But you need to know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God says, I got this covered. I'm going to deal with it. Don't fret because I know you're fretting. Don't get all worked up because things seem to be going okay with them. I got this. But you need to give some time in this. And this is a faith issue, trusting in God, just giving it over to God. And if you're going to navigate through this too, because it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing, you got to be intentional, just staying close with God, getting in his word, in prayer, fellowshipping with other believers, listen to music that encourages you with the things, just staying close with God, because otherwise you're going to fret, you just are, and you're going to envy those, you know, they seem to be doing okay even though they did this to me. Just give it time. And here's the deal too, sometimes we do get angry, and we do act out, and there's things that happen in relationships. Unfortunately, we're not to just leave it there. So I say unfortunately because it's the next step's not necessarily always easy. Because relationships are valuable. Your testimony is valuable, and you want to guard that. It says this in Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. And thankfully, if it's possible, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you blow up at someone or someone blows up at you and tensions are there and really you just really should stay away from that person because it's not safe, it's not wise, you got to leave that. You can't touch that. But there's other times things blow up between you and someone else and your testimony is affected, your relationship's affected, and you need to do all you can to be at peace. Because that's what it says, do you know all you can, because sometimes you can't do enough, but you do all you can to just make peace. If there's some area you messed up, then apologize for it, ask for forgiveness for it. And sometimes the person will receive it, and sometimes they won't. And it's hard, to, you know, it's humbling to ask somebody to forgive you. You've blown up them, you've done something you shouldn't have, and just ask. As I said, sometimes they'll accept your apology, sometimes they won't. But there's things we need to do because we do blow it at times. And just to move along here, James tells us that unrighteous anger does not produce the righteousness of God. I tell you what it produces. It produces resentment. It produces broken relationships. It produces bitterness. It produces loss of testimony. That's what it produces. That's what your anger produces. That's what my anger produces when we act out on it. It does not produce the righteousness of God. As a follower of Christ, God's call in your life is to shine the light on God. Show the beauty of God. And when you're laying into somebody, you're blowing it, you're losing your cool, it just that does not shine the light on how good God is. It just shines the light on you. You're messed up. And we are messed up people, and we're working on God, you know, doing a work in lives. But this is where I'm saying, get real. Be quick to listen. You know, just... you know, try and hear what people are saying. Get into God's word. What's God saying to you? Slow to speak. Don't just blurt out the first thing that comes to mind with people you interact with and people you deal with. And that's going to aid you in being slow to becoming angry. And if you're slow to becoming angry, that's going to save a lot of headaches in your life. And if you're someone who's slow to become angry, it causes people to question, you know, they see some of the things you're dealing with, they see the interaction you had, well, why didn't you just blow it at that person? And that's where they question, what's going on in your life? And that's where opportunity comes, well, I know God, I have this relationship with God, God's doing a work in my life. Well, just as we go through this, be inspired to do those things, quick to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to come out. Be inspired. But my challenge to you is don't stop there. Like if that's all it did, then we just kind of, you know, filled in some time here this morning, because it's really no long-lasting benefit. Except for you did hear, so there is more accountability that comes because you're called to. So be intentional in this area. You're going to leave here. Be intentional in relation to your kids, or in relation to your spouse, or in relation to your coworkers, or in relation to your friends, or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever that is. That's your call as you leave here. So be inspired. That's great. But if all you are is inspired, then this is just kind of a waste of time. But if you put into action, there's real fruit that's coming from this. So we're going to pray. And after we pray, we'll finish with the song. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your word, God. And I pray, God, that we would not just listen, but we would do. God, I pray for transformation. I pray for change. I pray your spirit would work in and through us, God. I pray that none of us, too, would hear this and be of the mindset, well, I'm gonna go about doing this on my own. And God, I pray that there's no one here that has that mindset, because they're missing out on the greatest help, the greatest assistance that's available, and it's through you, God. And I pray if anyone here doesn't have a relationship with you, they've never come before you in confession and recognition that before you they don't measure up. God, that they've sinned before a holy God and they need forgiveness of their sins. And God, I pray that even this day, we confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins and place their faith and trust in him and have relationship with you, God, through Christ. And as life gets messed up, they have you to turn to. As life is going well, they have you to praise and be thankful for. So God, I pray as we're gathered here, as we hear, God, we pray for your strength and pray for your enablement in this, that we would be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And I pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.